Say a top general was killed in a car bomb outside Moscow today. CBS's Holly Williams.
Russian media is reporting that the device was detonated remotely as General Moskalik walked past. We cannot confirm those details at this point.
That comes a day after deadly airstrikes on Kyiv. Luigi Mangione is expected to enter a plea at court in New York, a day after federal prosecutors confirmed they'd seek the death penalty and the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO. CBS's Anna Schechter.
We expect it to be a plea of not guilty, as he has pled in the New York State charges and the charges in Pennsylvania related to this alleged crime.
The Vatican says 150,000 people have now filed past Pope Francis' casket.
I think we all feel a little lost, because when you love someone that you lose, you feel lost, you know?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
From the WFHR WIRI newsroom, I'm Terry Barr. 11 veterans are being recognized for their service. Melissa Kay tells us it happened during a heartfelt ceremony in Wisconsin Rapids.
The Quilts of Valor presentation took place at Renaissance by Rennes on the morning of April 23rd. Each quilt is handcrafted by the Material Girls of Wisconsin and a beautiful tribute to each veteran's service, sacrifice, and valor. Tom Heiser served as part of the Color Guard from the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 101, taking part in the Quilts of Valor ceremony.
Quilts of Valor, where veterans receive a quilt that cannot be sold, cannot be given away as a present. It belongs to the veteran and can stay within the family.
Tom said it was an honor to be a part of the day. He said many of the veterans honored served in the 1950s during the Korean conflict situation. Jeff Peters is a retired veteran and also mentioned during the ceremony as a friend of the veterans at Renaissance by Rennes. Jeff visits the facility every Thursday morning at 10 to talk with veterans and share stories.
We sit together, we have coffee, donuts, and we just talk about their lives, you know, their service, their, you know, what they've done. And, you know, they go from 89 to 102, and it's just amazing to me the memories, you know, that they have. And one of the reasons I did this is I wanted to be able to pass those memories on.
Jeff said family members are always welcome to join them at 10 on Thursdays. The next Quilt of Valor ceremony will happen this summer, and Jeff will be one of the recipients. If you would like to nominate a veteran to receive a quilt, you can do so at qovf.org.
And again, that's Melissa Kay. And I'm Terry Barr. You're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers add a wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Draft in Green Bay, where the Packers picked Matthew Golden, a wide receiver out of Texas, in the first round. Golden is only a junior, but the team is confident he's ready for the NFL. GM Brian Gutekunst.
I think because of the high school football and the way they throw it around, seven on sevens, and just some of the things that have changed on the lower levels, guys are coming in and making an impact quicker, and I certainly think Matthew has the opportunity to do that. Now, we got some good players in that room, so he's not going to have to kind of carry the load that way, but I think he has a chance to contribute, you know, not only as a receiver, but I think he's got some special team returnability as well that could help us.
I asked Golden on what made him successful at Texas.
Being reliable, man, you know, in critical situations, I always showed up. You know, when our back was against the wall, they could count on me, come out with a big play, and that's something I kept doing continuously. You know, I put my best foot forward.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pacers in game 3 of their playoff series tonight. The Brewers are in St. Louis to play the Cardinals. Milwaukee losing to the Giants 6-5. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little fog this morning, then it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered off and on showers here for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Our high right around 50, bit breezy with northerly wind gusts from 15 to 20, maybe up to 25. Tonight we'll drop into the mid-30s. Tomorrow, sunny, upper 50s. By Sunday, partly cloudy in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson, new Wisco Weekend host Lisa Hale, and it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, April 25th, 2025. Got a lot to cover today. We're going to be talking at the bottom of the hour here with Devin Remiker. He is the current executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's also one of the candidates running to be the next state party chair for Wisconsin Democrats. So we will talk a bit about that coming up in our second half hour. But right now, we have Dr. Kristen Lyerly and we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot with us. We'll be talking about the draft. We will be talking about what we talked about with Kia Vakil in our 6 a.m. hour. A Texas legislator wants to pass a bill that would allow wastewater to be checked for abortion pills and birth control pills. Because, I mean, can big government get any bigger for these folks? And also, the Trump White House wants you to be out there making more babies, ladies. I could not say it any more smarmy if I tried.
So, I am doing my part, Pat.
You did your four boys. That's it. So we'll get into that in just a second. But first, Brittany is back with us to talk about the forecast where, again, Kristen, her boys were at the draft last night, and they escaped a lot of the rain, which was really nice. But you can't get away from it all day today, can you?
No, unfortunately. A few of that little bit of drizzle is moving through the Fox Valley right now. It's their first little bit of rain. And of course, a lot of it, the heavy, the steadier rain, is sitting just northwest of the Fox Valley. It is raining from pretty much northeast Wisconsin into Wausau all the way to La Crosse, and that is going to be shifting its way towards the lake in towards Green Bay, and it's going to be raining for a good chunk of the afternoon, pretty much from noon to 5. Expect some light rainfall. I'd say the heaviest is going to be coming down from 1 to 3. You are looking at about a quarter of an inch of rain headed your way today, and it's breezy too and chilly. Temperatures are only going to make it to 50 degrees in Green Bay. We're looking at some 40s only up north and some mid-50s down south for high temperatures. And of course, those winds are breezy too, gusting up to 30 miles per hour out of the north, keeping us cooler, adding a wind chill to that too. So of course, it's just damp, dreary, and raw out there. But we are going to see those clouds clear as we go through tonight. They're actually going to start clearing far northwest early this evening. So you may see some spots of sunshine, but by the lake and off to the east, it's going to wait till overnight. And tomorrow we've got tons of sunshine on tap. It'll be beautiful. We'll hold on to that for most of the day on Sunday before more rain rolls in. And that looks to bring some strong to severe thunderstorms on Monday.
Now, I think a lot of folks for the draft were, you know, staying in hotels or, you know, Verbos or bed and breakfast areas. I'm sure a couple of people were in, you know, some campgrounds or, you know, maybe pitched a tent in somebody's front yard, which brings me to Dr. Lyerly, who is not that terribly far away from Lambeau Field. Did you rent out any of the rooms? Do you have anybody camping in your front yard for the draft? Did you make money off this in any way, shape or form?
I have not, but my house is full of kids, my own kids and other people's kids. So yes. I'm happy. And Brittany, I'd like a do-over. Could we please just like roll the dice again and have a different forecast?
If only. Where's my magic eight ball, right?
Right.
I was like, why did Mother Nature pick this of all times? She couldn't.
That's luck of the draw. But like we were saying yesterday, it's a big storm system. There would have been a lot of NFL cities that would have gotten rain had the draft happened in their place. Robin Tigerton still with us saying, thank you, Kristen, for all you're doing to help motivate people. We are very lucky to have Kristen around. So,
thanks, Rob. Rob's the best.
Yes. Right. Brittany, thank you so much for the weather update. As always, you're the best.
Have a great day, Brittany.
You as well.
Kristen, so you were talking about maybe heading over to the draft, maybe getting on your bike and going on down there, but life got in the way.
My bike plan is tomorrow. I've got it all mapped out, Pat. Okay. So I have a meeting this afternoon that goes until about, when did you say the rain was going to end? 5? My meeting goes yes. until about 5.
Oh.
And then I'm going to head down there. But my kids were down there last night. They had a blast. Did you hear about Clay Matthews?
Yes. And I did not want to rub it in on Dan when he was here just a moment ago because Steve McMichael's passing away and everything. But when Clay Matthews got up there and said, I have a message from the president, the Bears still suck. And the crowd goes wild. And it was such a great moment. And I did really like people might say it's gimmicky. I disagree. I liked it when the commissioner came out and along with some of the Packer players on kids' bikes.
Yeah.
Just like for training camp. I thought that was a nice touch.
They have a whole thing like that tomorrow morning. There are so many different events that are happening. There's food. There's all this like Wisconsin kitschy stuff. It is. They went full bore Northeast Wisconsin. If you are in the area, please stop by the draft. They had to close the doors last night around, I don't know, 5:30 maybe, because it had reached capacity. People are so excited, having such a great time. And it's not just in the draft area. It's downtown. It's all around. You can just feel the buzz.
Here was my one question, though. When the parking lot basically filled up, it was like the world's best tailgate party, kind of, sort of. But then the spillover was in the stadium. They said, just go on in the stadium. You could see the bowl starting to fill up with fans. There's my question. I'm sure the bathrooms were open. They better have been. But were there concession stands open if you were in there? Because if there weren't, then you were just sitting there, on the bleachers watching the Jumbotron. But then you decided you were hungry or something. You were kind of out of luck.
I'm pretty sure they were. I mean, I wasn't there and I didn't hear firsthand, but I'm pretty sure they were. Okay. And there's so much food, like in the whole area, there are so many food trucks and local folks who brought in, I mean, it's cheesecake. It's the stuff that we're used to, but the rest of the country doesn't know about. Remember when the world discovered fried cheese curds?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
We were like, yeah, of course.
I was talking last night with some folks who were watching the draft and, they're about my age as well, but they spent their childhood in Wisconsin. And they said, I'm old enough to remember cheese curds weren't always the big deal that they are. It was just like, well, here's some leftover whey. We should do something with it. And, much like it reminds me of how buffalo, chicken wings, buffalo wings, used to not be a big deal. People thought wings were like the scrap. And somebody got the idea to market those and make a killing. And now we all think chicken wings are the best. And the same goes for cheese curds. That was just some leftover product. It's like, everybody loves these now.
Yep. And they've got some really fun beers on tap with really cool, like very Wisconsin names. It's just, it's a love fest for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Let's see. From the text line here, Matt in Germantown, back to our history lesson. We missed the most important birthday today, he writes. Mine. Matt.
Happy birthday, Matt.
There you go. Happy birthday to you. Thanks for writing in. A lot of texts, a lot of comments today. I will not get to them all. And I just wanted to thank everybody for putting something in, especially when you put what city you're listening in or what town. We love to hear that and get a feel for where where everybody is out there. Oh, how do we get into this? Let's go in by People Magazine. When People Magazine is covering something from the Trump administration, you understand this is a big deal. Here's the headline. Trump's team ponders how to make women have more babies. One idea was part of Hitler and Stalin's playbook. Ideas for parenting incentives, such as a National Medal of Motherhood for six-time moms, comes amid steadily declining birth rates across the U.S. And they've talked about, like, one idea is to give a $5,000 cash baby bonus to American mothers when they give birth. Kristen, you've given birth to four nice baby boys. Tell me what $5,000 would do to entice somebody to have a baby in this day and age.
What I really want to talk about is comparing Hitler's plan versus Stalin's. I would go with Hitler because he starts at four kids and Stalin starts at six.
That's right. It does. Yes.
So, and it's a cool looking medal, except for the swastika in the middle of it. Apparently people wore it with pride. I did a little research last night.
Good.
Also, the cost of producing these medals and all of the stuff around giving the medals, it was extensive. And in Hitler's world, they took away military medals to focus on these, like, mom-producing baby medals. That's how important this was in the Nazi regime. So this is a whole thing that they are tapping into. That's not surprising when we're hearing about things like registries of people with autism and some of these other things that they've borrowed from the Nazi Party.
And, of course, grabbing people off the streets. Yeah. So, I mean, can we look? People are going to say, don't trash motherhood. I'm not trashing motherhood.
No.
Let's call this what it is, kids. It's race-based. Yeah. If you're trying to round up all the brown people and ship them off to camps and try to restrict migration, but you're basically saying, let's have more American babies, we know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We know what you're talking about because it's exactly what they were doing in Germany and in Russia. How about you just embrace the fact that we are a nation of migrants, migrant labor. We have such a worker shortage here. But even if you skip that, Kristen, again, $5,000 versus, say, childcare assistance, health insurance, paid family leave. I mean, there are things they could actually do that would that new moms would love to see.
Yeah. You know, if we would just invest into our infrastructure, if we could make sure that everybody had access to quality, affordable health care. And I'm talking about not just when you're pregnant, but all the time. If we really want to make America healthy again, make sure people can get to the doctor when they're sick. Because I don't know about you, Pat, I used to be able to afford that. Now it's really expensive. That's why people are getting so much information off of TikTok, because they can't afford to go to the doctor. So how about we make our health system affordable, accessible? In rural areas, we know that people who are having babies in rural areas have twice the likelihood of having a bad outcome because they can't get to the doctor. It's just not there for them. They can't afford health care. So start there and then expand to child care. Let's make sure that child care is accessible and affordable. How about housing? Let's make sure that people can live in houses that they can afford, that they have food that they can afford. Do you know what the number one reason is why people don't want to have babies? Pew did a study on this. The number one reason is they don't want to. They don't want to because of the number two reason, the state of the world. So how about we solve some problems and make the state of the world better so we can all be healthier, and then we're going to have babies. I like that idea better.
Every day for some 500 radio shows now, I end the show going, I wonder if I have a clip that I could turn into a video for social media. And some days it's really easy. Thank you, Kristen, for that. Now I got to end on something that is as troubling as it is funny in its own weird way, that there are Texas legislators who want to introduce a bill that would require water utilities to test the wastewater for chemical byproducts related to the use of the abortion pill or birth control pill. And they're doing it, of course, under the guise of environmental protection. This is wackadoodle stuff.
Great idea, fellas.
Yeah.
Yep. You're doing a great job, Brownie. I don't even know what to say. Obviously, this is ridiculous. If we're trying to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, this is a program that's going to cost money and it's going to result in what?
Investigations of women, of course. It's like, okay, somewhere they're going to narrow it down. It's like, okay, now we're going to look at the water just in this quadrant and then the water just here. And it can't possibly get any more Handmaid's Tale goofball than that. But this is Texas, boys and girls. And by the way, we talked about this with Kiev Akil, and he's got a strong reaction to it, too, in our 6 a.m. hour. So head over to the Civic Media website or get the show by podcast, and you can listen back to some of our past hours. Still ahead this hour, Devin Remiker, candidate for State Democratic Party chair. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
Heavy rain and rising groundwater can turn your basement into a disaster zone overnight. A failing sump pump means water damage and expensive repairs. Don't wait. Tri-City Services installs and services high-quality sump pumps to keep your home dry. Don't risk thousands in water damage. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840.
We're not comfortable until
your Republican Senator Patrick Teston wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Patrick Teston at 608-266-3123 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR. Paid for by the Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
Aw, look at that, a robin.
Oh, there's a bunny.
Hey,
is that a little fox running around? Ah, white-tailed buck and a gray squirrel. Wait a second, why are all the critters in the neighbor's yard? None of them are coming on our property. Oh, wait, there's a skunk. Oh, I get it, they smell that stinky skunk. Wait, the skunk has a sign. We are boycotting your yard, it reeks like raw sewage? Call Crockett Septic, 715-712-3456. Honey, you better bring me the phone. We need to call Crockett Septic.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you, too. They'll pump away that stinky, nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeehaw! The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this April 24th, 2025. Looking to have a lot of fun with the new way that we're doing this. We encourage people to spread the word about the show, streaming exclusively online at WFHR.com or civicmedia.us, and go check out past episodes. Like when we have our friends, Family Natural Foods joining us. Every conversation is interesting. Encourage you to go check out past interviews as well. We have the gang in with us right now, Stephen and Katrina Hinder from Family Natural Foods. How y'all doing? How's it going?
Great.
Good. Yeah.
Good.
Happy to be here.
I know that there's so much going on over there, and you have some great presentations coming up, including one that I just found out about late last night, actually. You got coming up in June. But before we get to that, let's talk about this great one you got coming up right in May.
Yeah, thank you. So we have talked about it a little bit, and then I was on the morning show with you, and we highlighted it. But the it's going to be on May 6th. It's a Tuesday. It's 5:15, and we're going to have our friend Rubina in, and she's going to talk about, like, spring cleaning, low waste. We're going to talk about all the things, right? So on Earth Day when I was
here. Yeah, it's like refillable and reusable cleaning supplies. And the great benefit to that is you save money.
Mm-hmm.
These are more natural than most cleaning supplies, so they're better for your health.
Mm-hmm.
They work great, and you can reuse
your container.
Have less waste.
You're not
filling up your recycling bin like me every week. Yeah. I always seem to have a lot more recycling than I do garbage, which I guess is
you.
A good thing.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like, why do I even have that much recycling?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
How can I reuse the thing?
Let's try to solve this.
So you can take that, like, let's say glass peanut butter jar that you just used, and you were going to put it in your recycling container. Wash it really well. You can bring that to Family Natural Foods. We essentially tear. We'll explain the whole process. But we tear the item, and then you can fill it up with
tear the item means that we subtract the weight of the jar.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yep, yep.
I thought I'd explain it just in person, but, you know, I don't like that. It's
just
maybe
come
a
in
bit
and Katrina will show you. It's like
I knew
magic.
What it was, but for the audience's sake, yeah. No, I did not know what it was.
Just
but,
in case.
You know,
it's a weird
you bring
word.
That container in, and then you can refill it with your hand soap or whatnot. But maybe you don't want to use that old container of yours. We have new wonderful glass jars that you can buy once and then reuse over and over again. Yep. Some have like the spout, so it can be great for a hand soap. If you're doing like an all-purpose wash, we have like a spray container. Mm-hmm. Again, buy it once, refill it. Very similar to like our oils and vinegars that we have. You know, you buy it once. It's that concept. If we can all start thinking that way, like James and I were talking about on Tuesday, we can just make this world a cleaner place. We don't need to consume as much stuff. So this is a way to consume less. And so this presentation is going to talk about that, of course, about the products, but just how we can really think a bit more about what our impact is and what we're doing and how we can change that. So it is on May 6th. That's a Tuesday. And it's at 5:15. It's going to be a good presentation.
Yeah, something we could all grab something from. Yeah. You know, we all have to clean our houses, right? So
make it a little more fun.
Somebody has to clean our houses. So yeah, why not do it cleaner, you know, with mm-hmm. less chemicals, mm-hmm. Do it cheaper,
yep.
and do it with less waste.
And maybe you want a little scent in there because all of ours are unscented. So if people that have sensitive skin, they're great because mm-hmm. it's unscented. But we have wonderful essential oils that you can add into that. And that's also mm-hmm. fun. Like,
yeah, I'm sure that's something we'll learn about on that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of how to customize it yourself mm-hmm. and do it in a natural way as well.
Speaking of that word custom, one thing that I hadn't thought about the other day when you were coasting with us, Kat, and I really appreciate that. It was fun having you in the show. One of the things I hadn't thought about is how much we are more and more enjoying unique items mm-hmm. and unique things in our homes.
Yeah.
We've seen a rise of this, really going back to the rise of Etsy or even when Milkweed Market was here in town or a cultural center with some of the local items from artists they sell.
That was really fun.
More and more people want this. Here's a great opportunity to have something like that, unique in your home. Not everybody has this soap dispenser that you helped create or something.
Could be a great gift to really kickstart people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there's a day a couple days ago, what do they call it? Earth Day?
That would be a
day and a topic to really focus on this and bring it around, maybe just surprise people with a gift. But Earth Day can be every day. I mean, mm-hmm. I kind of appreciate the Earth. And luckily here in Wisconsin Rapids, we have some of the most beautiful Earth, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's so much beautiful nature. So, I mean, it's easy to appreciate Earth Day every day here in Wisconsin
Rapids. Yeah, nature makes it easy on us around here.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yep. If I lived in one of those big cities, I would say, wow, these engineers and architects really built a beautiful place here.
Yeah.
A different appreciation.
Yeah. You know,
absolutely. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we want to highlight another presentation that we're really excited about.
This is fun. We just got information on it.
Mm-hmm. It just started getting the word out. But we are excited to have Terry Lemeron with Terry Natural back at Family Natural Foods. Steven, is this the fourth year?
I think it's the fourth.
Yeah, there was a year that he wasn't there, but I feel extremely grateful to say that he's been with us for 4 years and he wants to come back. He's excited to come back. Like, it's something he looks forward to. And again, we don't know each year, will he, won't he, but we ask the question and we're so, like, we feel so honored and blessed that he really thinks of this as like a, you know, part of his community and he believes in, you know, the family run businesses that are getting the information out and he has so much knowledge. This man is...
He's so good and
he's so great.
Like Katrina said, he's like a very busy person. He's traveling all over the world. You know, he's frequently when I'm like, oh, did you guys, because we were trying to plan this for months. Mm-hmm. It literally, like, we talked about it first in November and it didn't get confirmed until last week. So this takes a long time because they'll be like, oh, we'll check in with Terry, but he's in Europe right now, or he's in India looking at the turmeric harvest, or you know, you name it, he's kind of all over the place. And like Katrina said, I try to never take it for granted. You know, every time that he's coming, I'm like, this is great. I don't know if it's going to work in his schedule. I don't know if he's going to retire next year. You know, I don't know. So, like, I always tell people, like, if you're like, oh, maybe I'll go next year, don't do that. Just come.
Yeah.
Tell everybody.
It's a free event. We're not charging anything. And the knowledge that he provides is something that's like, how many years of experience? I don't know, like 50 plus years.
Yeah, 50 plus years of experience.
And you really can't get that from hardly anybody else, and to have that right in your community is really great.
I wanted to piggyback off that, Stephen, because with this guest in particular, and look, especially the last handful of presentations, Brian at True Grace, Dr. Tracy at Vital Planet, amazing individuals, great speakers 100%. With tons of great knowledge. And then there's Terry, who is just one of the founders of so much of this industry and so much of what's going on here. And it's interesting, the presentation he's focusing on, Optimal Wellness for Longevity. Well, he's a great one to be running that.
Right?
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From the WFHR WIRI newsroom, I'm Terry Barr. A roundtable discussion revealing feelings of uncertainty as residents and lawmakers gathered in Richland Center. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, along with State Senators Brad Pfaff and Sarah Kayeski, led the discussion, focusing on federal government cuts.
Hearing directly from Southwest Community Action Program, speaking about the importance of the Head Start program, it's important that we all recognize that we want our children to get a good head start, especially early childhood education is so very important. So I really appreciated hearing those comments, but I also appreciated hearing the comments that were shared by the Aging, Disability, and Resource Center team. And when they talk about the concern and the outright fear that some of our elderly members in our communities are experiencing right now because they continue to hear about potential cuts to Medicaid as well as to Social Security.
Other news, the NFL draft is well underway in Green Bay, and 9 local breweries are working together on a special ale just for the event.
9 Green Bay area breweries have come together to brew a beer to match the excitement of the NFL draft 2025. The 8th round downtown pale ale will be available in the Draft City Music Fest and at local tap rooms. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Really encouraging people to visit all kinds of different amenities within the community, all the tap rooms, restaurants and bars, and you know, things from the Children's Museum to Baby Bay Beach, you know, having a couple of rides open. We really want to spread the wealth and encourage people to get around the community, and what greater opportunity than to advertise, you know, what we have from a craft brewing perspective.
Draft City Music Fest is part of the multi-day Touchdown Downtown happening throughout downtown Green Bay.
That's Lisa Hale, and I'm Terry Barr. You're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There will be a new pope soon, and thanks to the movie Conclave, more people know how the new pope will actually be selected. As it turns out, after Pope Francis passed away earlier in the week, people are even more curious as they are streaming the living daylights out of the film. The film was nominated for Best Picture at this year's Oscars and stars John Lithgow, Stanley Tucci, Ralph Fiennes, and Isabella Rossellini. Good film. My money's on Isabella or John Lithgow. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon have experienced tremendous success in Hollywood since their hit film Good Will Hunting. Affleck appeared on the Today Show earlier this week to promote The Accountant 2, which opens this weekend. When shown a shirtless picture of Accountant 2 co-star John Bernthal next to a shirtless Damon who looks completely shredded at 54, Affleck started teasing him about his physique. Affleck teased him again on the set of Access Hollywood. It's always tough to see your ex get in shape. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A little fog this morning, then it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered off and on showers here for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Our high right around 50, bit breezy with northerly wind gusts from 15 to 20, maybe up to 25. Tonight we'll drop into the mid-30s. Tomorrow, sunny, upper 50s. By Sunday, partly cloudy in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Current temperature 44.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to look at the NFL draft in Green Bay, some news of the day, and our old friend Peter Rapine with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I know it's radio, but I still want to thank Adam in Oregon, Wisconsin, for using the text line to send us a photo from the draft last night. And he was in a great spot in the crowd there. Wonderful lighting, just a mass of people, and all look like they're having a good time. I've heard nothing but good things, you know, so far that came out of it. And the Packers drafted a receiver. Who'd have thunk? What amazing times that we live in. So round two of the draft will be this evening. Hopefully the rain that Brittany talked about falling throughout the course of the day today will let up just in time for the second round, and that things go smoothly tomorrow for the rest of the draft as well. So that's the big event this weekend. For Wisconsin Democrats, there's a big event coming up in mid-June. There will be the usual state party convention. Republicans do the same thing. And in these off years, is typically when they have elections for positions like chair of the state party. And Ben Wickler has been the state party chair for these past 6 years and is stepping down, not running for another term. That has opened up the field so far with three candidates running for that slot. We're going to talk to one in just a second. First, want to remind you that we talked to Joe Zepecki yesterday. We've talked to him frequently on Thursdays, and he announced his candidacy on the show a week ago, gave us an update yesterday. We heard from William Garcia on Wednesday. He is the chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democrats, and we have put that interview up on our YouTube page. So head over to the Up North News YouTube page, and you can see that to learn more about him. And we're going to do the same thing with the next candidate that we're going to be talking to right here, Devin Remicker from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and candidate to be the next chair. Devin, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You already mentioned that we took for the first time in 23 years an offensive weapon, a wide receiver last night in the draft, so I'm feeling pretty great.
Yes, I mean that it's a great new chapter here, and it'll be a new chapter for the state Democratic Party as well. We caught you here before you hit the road, and I know all three of you and any others who might get in the race. I mean, there is nothing but road work involved here, especially this time of year. You've got the congressional district level conventions that are happening this weekend and scattered throughout the course of the calendar here. So you're getting up there. And you are a familiar name to me. You are a familiar name to party stalwarts throughout Wisconsin. For all the convention delegates, some are active, some are a little less active. They may have heard the name, but they haven't met the person yet. So we love that we've got this radio program where folks who are running for office like yourself, we can just open it up, give you the platform, and say, all right, what is it you're doing with the party right now, Devin Remicker? And what would you like to do as chair? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And great to be here. So I am presently on leave from the party, where I've been a senior advisor to the party since the end of 2023. And I'm on leave because I want to make sure that as I'm running for this position, there's no sense of impropriety about, you know, my role with the party here at the convention. But for me, this is a really great opportunity to do something that used to be much more central to my role, which is getting out there and talking to folks all over the state. I've had the honor and the privilege of working for two chairs of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, first chair, Martha Lanning, and most recently, for the past almost 6 years now, Chair Ben Wickler. And I think he has just left us a fantastic foundation to build upon. I was served as his executive director for almost half of his tenure. And I really got to see firsthand what it takes to run the party at the level that it's currently operating at, where we have budgets in excess of almost 50 million. We have over 200 staff in almost all of these election cycles. And it's a pretty big machine. And I think that machine needs a little bit of fine tuning in places. But it's something that I don't want to see that we have to hit the brakes on this year. I want to be able to hit the gas because I think that Democrats have the rare opportunity in 2026 to have the right maps and hopefully, knock on wood, the right political environment to be able to win a trifecta and do the thing that I think a lot of Democrats are hoping to do, which is get off defense and go on offense and pass the progressive policy agenda that improves people's lives. So I'm in this race because I think I'll be ready on day one to grab that baton from Ben and run with it.
We're going to continue to look ahead at what the Democratic Party of Wisconsin needs, but let me just look back a little bit longer and ask you a bit more about your prior to working at the Democratic Party. You have ample experience with candidates and elected officials that have taken you to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I started my career with State Representative Steve Doyle, actually, who for a long time has been the Democrats that has held the most Republican district in this state. He essentially has all of La Crosse County, except for the city of La Crosse, or at least when I worked for him, he did. And it really sort of helped me, I think, get a thorough understanding of how Democrats can win and how we need to win and reach voters, especially in rural areas. And sort of 50-50 toss-up parts of the state, which I sort of backed up by then going to work for Congressman Ron Kind in the sprawling 3rd Congressional District. I started first as his field director and eventually became his campaign manager from 2016 through the start of 2018. But that was really a great experience. You know, we had 18 counties in the Congressional District. It's also the Congressional District with the most UW campuses and the most UW students in the state. And I think it really helped me sort of understand how things can be incredibly different in different parts of the state. You know, Eau Claire is different than La Crosse, is different than Portage, is different than Jackson, Pepin, Buffalo, you name it. And I think there's definitely different needs and struggles from both county parties and the people in those areas. And I think that working for Congressman Kind really, really ingrained in me a sense of how we need to make sure that we're reaching folks everywhere, not just in major cities.
Yeah, that has always been a key point with anybody running for any kind of leadership position in the state Democratic Party, is to have this broad statewide view of what to do and that there isn't a one-size-fits-all system. Before I get to that almost local level of things, I do want to say, just from a 30,000 foot view, your feeling on where the Democratic Party overall needs to go. And I say that in light of a very good outcome for Democrats, seeing Susan Crawford elected to the Supreme Court, but months earlier seeing Donald Trump win the state of Wisconsin again. There's been no shortage of postmortem pieces. Most recently, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich wrote something in Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area, and we will have him on the show Tuesday to hear his view of where the Democratic Party should go from here. But since everybody else is giving their view, we want to hear that from you as well. In light of recent events, both good and bad, where do you feel the Democratic Party of Wisconsin needs to go to maintain its successes, but then also pick up ground that, you know, it where it still needs to do, run like races for the White House and congressional district seats?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin is incredibly strong. I think we have a strong set of leaders. I think that what we really need to do is make sure that we are reaching folks everywhere and not depending on somebody coming to save us from any sort of national committee or national campaign. And I know that's been a focus of our work for years, but I think that we saw, particularly in 2024, to me, the biggest gap between sort of our message. And I think it's easy to say, you know, here's the combination of words that everyone's going to be saying this cycle, or here's the magic set of words that we think is going to win people over. But I think just as important as the words that we say is how we say them, how we approach conversations with people, how authentic that we and our candidates appear. And I think that, you know, for as much as it makes Democrats and myself pull my hair out when people say, well, Donald Trump just, you know, says what he means. And, you know, he seems authentic, despite the fact that many of the things he says are completely horrendous and objectionable. I think that sometimes voters just aren't buying what we're selling, even when they agree with us on the issues. And we know that they agree with us on the issues, whether it's protecting Social Security, protecting the right to choose, protecting our very democracy. People agree with us sort of fundamentally, but they just don't always buy it when we're trying to say it. And I think that part of that is sometimes when we are engaging in conversation with voters I just listened to Pete Buttigieg, you know, speak about this as well. It often feels like we are commanding people to come with us instead of inviting them to come with us and leaving space for there to be that, you know, 25 to 20% to 10% disagreement. And I think that can be alienating to folks at a time when we need to sort of be making our tents even bigger. And I think that one thing I really want to do at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is sort of really make sure that when we're doing things like deep canvassing over the course of this year, or when we are training more messengers for our party. And I think that, you know, we can't be competitive if we're only knocking on people's doors once a year. And we are losing the battle on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, local buy and sell pages, news and information pages. People are just getting saturated with messaging every other one of those 364 days a year where we're not knocking on their door. And I think that we need to both empower people with better information, better messaging, yes, but also the tools and the training and the confidence to be able to use it in a way that will bring people with us instead of leaving people behind, because politics is ultimately the art of addition.
And I can say an amen to that one point. In fact, of the folks putting things in the comment section, the one that stuck out is all of the texts, all of the emails, everything that's about the fundraising. And yet, fundraising is an important, you know, component. The next chair will have to be mindful of fundraising, as well as messaging, as well as organizing the party at the state level and then at the local level as well, which is where I want to take us now to that local level. And you know, from me as being a former chair, county chair for Chippewa County, you know, there's county chairs and county party members all throughout greater Wisconsin that have at times felt, you know, like their input is falling on deaf ears, not getting the resources they need and things like that. So as you talk to folks all over the state in your travels, like you will be in Hayward this weekend, what do you tell them about, you know, how you will run things if you are the next state chair?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a fundamental part of my platform is having a 72 county strategy. And I think that has been talked about before in Democratic politics. But what I mean it as is I want to have 72 county strategies. So I think that we have had a laser focus on organizing at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I think that's yielded fantastic results. But as I was just saying, I don't think knocking on doors is enough, particularly at this moment in time in which we are seeing widespread backlash to the Trump administration, even in places that you wouldn't normally expect to see that. I was just talking to the county party chair in Kenosha, and they had 150 people in Union Grove last weekend, you know, taking a stand. And I think in order to be able to sort of capture all the energy that's out there in the biggest sort of funnel possible and make sure it stays with us heading into 2026 when we have so many critical elections, we need to support county parties everywhere. And I think that starts with making sure that we have a team of folks that are actually dedicated to working with them, going county by county, figuring out if they need more help with membership, more help with leadership. As you know, it's hard to be a chair. It's hard to do it cycle after cycle. And we need to make sure that folks feel supported and have.
Devin Remiker is a candidate for the state party chair.
If I'm elected chair, to be able to hire a team of folks who don't have, with our organizing.
Devin, that's okay. Devin Remiker is candidate for state party chair for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Hey, remember, you can follow my team all day long at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, right here mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitler reminding you, never settle for anyone who wants this nation to take a shortcut on its full promise of liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Given the concerns about tariffs, inflation, and the economy, we may see some instability in the financial markets. As an investor, how can you cope? Your best strategy can be summed up in one word: diversification. It can't guarantee profits or prevent all losses, but it can help you manage risk and market fluctuations. Here's why. Different types of financial assets can move in different directions at any given time, so stocks may be up while bonds are down, or vice versa. If you owned both of these types of assets, and others besides, your portfolio would likely fare better than if you only owned one type of asset and that asset was affected by a market downturn. How you diversify your portfolio will depend on your own risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. But however you do it, diversification should always be a driving force behind your investment strategy.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones financial advisor in Wisconsin Rapids. Contact him at 715-421-0958.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this April 24th, 2025. Thank you so much for joining us. I spread the word about the show, moving, streaming, and keep in mind that you can catch this show and past shows at WFHR.com and civicmedia.us. In with us right now, our great friend from UW Extension, agricultural agent Matt Lippert is with us right now. Matt, thanks a lot for being here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Matt reminded me, as a bad interviewer that I am, of where I really wanted to start this the last time we talked, Matt, because the last time you joined us, you were heading off to Europe. You were going to Italy. How did that go, and what brought you over there?
Yes, so I've been a regular with a group called the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin, which is the largest dairy industry group in the state. Their mission is pretty much strictly educational. They have a big conference in the spring, and they do workshops throughout the year. But every other year, they do roughly every other year. They do an international trip. I've been to Ireland with them, Germany, Netherlands, Australia, and this year we went to Italy.
When it comes to going to these different locations, now certainly I think you can relate this to here in the States, and you go even just in a state-by-state basis, northern Wisconsin has different soil than southern Wisconsin. You and I have talked about that before. You're going to have different soil and different things you're dealing with, I'm sure, in England than Italy or vice versa or anything. Have you experienced some of that? Have you seen some of that?
Yeah, well, for sure. So I think probably... for tourists, general, not ag or dairy related tourists, that you know they want to go to Venice and they want to go to which Venice is not an agricultural experience. Obviously, it's a archipelago. It's all in water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rome, they want to go to Rome, and which we did both of those. I think a lot of people like to go to Tuscany, mm-hmm. which is where Florence is, and we. In getting to Rome, we also went to Tuscany. It's very hilly, very Mediterranean climate-wise. You know, they can grow all sorts of pretty warm season crops, but it's not like our Midwestern experience, which is big flat fields or Central Valley, California. But I really wanted to see, because as an agriculturist, I knew this, the north of Italy has a big flat valley. It's called the Po, and it's a pretty unique landscape in the world for agriculture. And it is it's pretty comparable weather wise and geography wise to our Central Valley in California. And it's big. I don't think it's quite as big as the Central Valley in California, but another difference is it's more industrialized. So even though it's a big expanse, there's small manufacturing, highways, municipalities, ruins. It's been habitated for a long time. So even though it's a big flat valley, there's pretty complicated as far as the features in it. But that was really fun to see. And as a dairy farmer, a lot of the dairy in the country is in that Po region in the north.
Hmm. When it comes to the purpose of this, Matt, I mean, I can only imagine the fun it is to be able to do something like this, and the experience it is just for a person in general doing it. But the information, the act of it, I imagine that it's also to collect information. It's to share information and find out what they're doing over here, and can it help? Can it apply over to us in the States?
For sure. And you get that all different ways. So we went to four dairy farms, and this year it was nice. Some years we go to quite a few more than that. Italy is not a powerhouse of dairy, even in the EU. You know, that would be France and Germany. But they have enough dairy. And what was nice about this is we went to probably the largest dairy in the country, which is just 15 minutes from downtown Rome, and right on the western coast of Italy, next to the international airport, and they milk 1,700 cows there. And the style was a lot like our larger dairies in the U.S., although they have some rules that some practices that we would do they wouldn't do. And then we also visited a dairy in the north of Italy that was exclusively robotics. And I think they had, 10 robots, I think, some in a brand really new facility and some in an older facility. And, you know, robots have become a fairly common thing here as well. And then we went to the first dairy was did a significant amount of their farm income was having some of the very best genetics in the world. And so we learned about their focus on that. And then there was a dairy that was, I don't think, there was nothing incredible about this place. It was just a nicely run one-family operation, milking a couple hundred cows in a city all around them and kind of in a steep valley. And so that was nice to see, probably a less extreme and more typical dairy as well. We saw, so that's dairy cattle. They milk water buffalo in Italy.
I did not know that. Wow. Yeah. I don't know if I knew you could even do that to a water buffalo. I'm learning a lot right now.
Well, you know, they're very protective of their region of origination of names. So, like, we use Parmesan, and they have a Parmigiano Reggiano, and I can't even say the name of the other one, but the product can only come from a certain region. And then within that region, they also have production protocols of what it would take to make that type of cheese. So, but we borrow their terms. I mean, we have Parmesan and we have mozzarella. That's what we put on a lot of pizza. Well, the original mozzarella, not even in Italy, it's not exclusively that anymore, but the original mozzarella is a water buffalo cheese.
That's, and that is my favorite cheese. So that is wild to me to learn that. That is really interesting. Huh, that's something.
You know, so we have goat products would be the second most common dairy product here in the U.S. And we have some sheep products as well. They're very, very, I mean, you have to go search that out to find it.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump draws a line in the sand on a peace plan for Russia and Ukraine. CBS's Michael Wallace.
In an interview with Time Magazine, Trump says Ukrainian President Zelensky understands he will have to give up Crimea and that it's been with Russia for a long time. Russia seized Crimea in 2014, 8 years before it invaded Ukraine.
Former New York Congressman George Santos tells CBS News he's resigned to the fact the judge in his fraud trial could impose a stiff sentence next hour. Loyola Law's Lori Levin.
The government is asking for over 7 years, but Santos says that he wants to get nothing more than the 2-year minimum in the case.
The Vatican says about 150,000 people have now filed past Pope Francis' coffin ahead of tomorrow's funeral. This woman from the U.S. was among them.
Walking in there, it was so silent, but you could feel how much people really cared about him and how much love there was for this man.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social.